Far too many people, even Christians, have God in the kitchen of their lives. He's there while they do other things.
Dr. Tony Evans says even if that seems like enough to you, it doesn't to God.
He wants to be the sun of your solar system, where the activities of your life revolve around him, because guess what? He's first.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The old saying goes, first things first. Seems obvious, right? Well, today, Dr. Evans will talk about why many people ignore that obvious piece of advice when it comes to their relationship with God and what it costs us when we do. Let's join him.
Did you know there are some things God cannot do? I know the common thought is God can do everything. Well, not quite. There are some things God cannot do. For example, God cannot lie. He is only truth. So that's something he cannot do. God cannot contradict his essential nature. He can't contradict himself. Sometimes people try to get you caught in a catch-22 by asking you, can God make a rock so big that it's too heavy for him to lift? That's like a contradiction. If you ever ask that question, tell them you can't answer the question because the question can't be asked. See, they're asking you, can God put himself in a contradictory situation? So the flaw is not in the answer, the flaw is in the question. Because God can't contradict his essential being. God cannot cause us to sin because of the purity of his nature. So God can't do certain things. God can't stop being God. He cannot not be who he is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So certain things God can't do. Today, I want to talk to you about something else God can't do. He can't be second. Unfortunately, today, we live in a world where most people, particularly in Western culture, acknowledge God, but not necessarily first. And when you search the Bible, you will see where God regularly demands to be first. The word first pops up a lot in Scripture in relationship to God, and God literally audits his position in your life, because he doesn't take your word for it. Just because you say he's first, he doesn't buy it. He audits it to see if he is first. God cannot be second. God regularly complains in the Bible when he is not visibly and functionally in first place. Remember the definition of kingdom stewardship. A kingdom steward is a faithful manager who is responsible to oversee the protection and the expansion of that which is God has placed in their lives to oversee on his behalf. A steward is not an owner of anything. They are a manager of everything the owner has placed in their disposal in three categories: time, talents, and treasures. The moment you think you're an owner and act like you're an owner, you're in conflict with the owner. And just like the owner of a business or the owner of a property, they don't want you doing your thing with their ownership. They want you to do what the owner's thing is with what they own as you oversee it for their benefit. I hope thus far in the series, if you've been tracking with us, you've gotten out of your mind that you own anything, because you own nothing. Everything is on temporary loan. Your time, your talents, and your treasures. So God regularly complains when he sees his managers acting like owners, and one of his complaints is that he's not first. He complains in Malachi chapter 1, for example, In verses 6 through 9, he says, you treat your governor better than you treat me. You treat your politicians and give them more honor than you give me, because you give me your leftovers. God says, I'm insulted as the owner, creator, that I get leftovers from you, given who I am and my position. In fact, he goes on in that chapter and says, because I'm a great king. I got a call a number of months ago from former President George Bush. And I got a call and surprised that he was on the other end of the line. And he says, Tony Evans, I want to invite myself to lunch. Will you fix me lunch? Okay, how do you tell a former president, no, I don't have time for you, given his position? So we scheduled a time for him to come over and have lunch. And we didn't use paper plates. We didn't use chinette. We didn't use plastic forks and plastic knives. We had a tablecloth. We had china. Because his position demanded that we don't give him leftovers. In other words, great care was taken because of who was coming to lunch. Well, God says, you don't know nobody like me. You don't know anybody who can do what I do, create what I can create. So don't come to me with your leftovers, given that I'm a great king and that I am a great God. Suppose you went to a restaurant, placed your order, and they brought you leftovers. They scrapped stuff from other folks' plates and said, well, here, it still tastes good. The reason you would not accept it is because of the price you paid to get it. Well, God has paid a high price to be first place in your life and my life. And so he doesn't want leftovers. He says in Haggai chapter 1, complaining about the people, he says, you're building your house while my house lays in waste. You've treated me not like the God that I am. And so God regularly complains about leftovers. That is, about not being treated like the God he is, being treated first. And so today, I want to drive home to me, you, and us, the priority of this role as a kingdom steward. That is, the prioritization of God. Most people, even Christians, have God in the kitchen of their lives, not the den. See, if you have a television in your kitchen, that means you are glancing at it while you do other things. You're cooking, you're eating, you're washing dishes, and so you look up or you listen. So it's there while you do other things. But if you want to focus on a game or focus on a movie or focus on a favorite program, that's the den. Because that's where the big screen TV is and the comfortable chair. That's where you can give focus. Far too many people, even Christians, have God in the kitchen of their lives. He's there while they do other things. And we look at him every now and then. When God wants to be in the den of your life, where he gets the focus and the other things revolve around him. He wants to be the sun of your solar system, where the activities of your life revolve around him, because guess what? He's first. Let me put it succinctly. God rejects being second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth because of who he is and the value that he's had. If you denigrate God to second place in the categories of your life, you have removed him from primacy of being involved in your life. So know that the further you move him down the line, not talking about your words, he's talking about functional first place, not verbal first place. Then you have moved him away from the level of involvement in your life that he wants to have. When you look at the Bible, you will see the word first used in relationship to a number of things. God wants to be first in your affections. Revelation 2:4 says, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You don't love me first. Oh, you may love me some kind of way, but you don't love me first. He says in Matthew chapter 10, he says in verse 37 and 38, I want your love for me to be greater than your love for your family. He says, if you love your family more than me, you're not worthy of me. Then he goes in verse 38 and says, I want you to love me more than you love you. So he wants you to deny you when you have to choose between him and you. That's some serious first place stuff there. That he wants you to love him more than your mate, more than your children, more than your human relationships, and even more than you love you. He says, that's how first I want to be in your life. And he says, if I'm not at that level of first, you're not worthy of me. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian. He was talking to his disciples. But what he doesn't want to do is give you himself for you to keep him second. You're not worthy of me. And these were people in Revelation 2 who were doing Christian service. They were busy, but they were busy out of duty. They were not busy out of affection. They were not loving him. They were just functional. They were just doing their duty. But they were not pursuing an intimacy. So the first place that God wants to be first is in your affections, in your love affair, in your love relationship. He wants you to pursue intimacy with him. And he wants that to be the greatest intimacy in your life. That you pursue. He wants it to be first.
There are other parts of life where we need to focus on putting God first, and Dr. Evans will come back to tell us about them in just a moment. First, though, I want to let you know about his brand new book that builds on what we're learning in our current series. It's called Kingdom Stewardship, an exploration of the burdens we'll drop and the blessings we'll receive once we realize that God owns everything, not just our money. You can get this life-changing book today as our gift to you when you come alongside the Urban Alternative and make a contribution toward Tony's ministry. In fact, if we hear from you right away, we'll send it to you along with all 12 full-length messages in our current series, also called Kingdom Stewardship, the companion study guide, and a DVD packed with custom Bible study sessions taught by Tony. You'll want to share it with your church or small group. It's a limited-time offer, so be sure to visit us at tonyevans.org right away and make the arrangements. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat our contact information after Tony brings us part two of today's lesson. Let's join him.
God not only wants to be first in your affections, he wants to be first in your worship. That's connected. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2 says, on the first day of the week when you come to worship. The Old Testament worship day was Saturday, the Sabbath. The New Testament worship day shifted to Sunday. It says they worshiped on the first day of the week. Why? Because of the resurrection. The resurrection began a new day. Sunday began a new day, the first day of the week. And so you see in the New Testament, they're always worshiping on the first day of the week in celebration of the resurrection. So God says, I want your worship to be me first, the first day of the week. And I want this to be the celebration of the resurrection, which is the celebration of Jesus Christ. That's why Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19 is so critical. It says, Jesus is in the image of God, and watch this, and therefore, since he is creator of all things, he is to have, watch this, first place in everything. That is, there is to be no category of your life where he is not first. He says in everything, because he made everything. That goes back to ownership. He owns everything. He made everything. He owns you. He says in every compartment of your life, I want to be first. I want to be consulted first. I want you to get my viewpoint first. I want you to think how I feel about it first. I want to be first in everything. If he wants to be first in everything, that means everything else is second to Jesus Christ. First place in everything. Tied closely to that is he says, I want you to pray first. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says that first of all, pray. Don't pray after you done made a mess. Don't pray after you tow up from the flow up. Don't pray just to help you get out of a crisis. Pray to me first. Talk to me first. In that particular passage, he's speaking to the men because the men are supposed to lead out spiritually. He says, I want men to lift their holy hands up before God, and I want the men to consult me first. So every man should be first to lead in prayer. Your wife shouldn't be asking you, are we going to pray? You are supposed to do it first. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says that first of all, look at the word of God. First of all, see what I say on a subject. Highlight me for who I am. I want to be first. So he's got all these categories of first, 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 first. And as I was studying, as I was looking at that, it just dawned on me, that's what's wrong. A lot of Christians, but he's not first. He's in the mix. He's down the line. He's in consideration. But he's not the first point of consultation, the first point of communication, the first point of trust, the first point of affection. He's just in there somewhere. And God says, if I'm in there somewhere, unacceptable because of who I am. I'm God. I'm creator. And in the stewardship context, I'm owner. So I want to be treated like I am. When Cain and Abel came to worship, the first worship discussion in the Bible after Adam and Eve, the Bible says God told Cain, I reject your offering of fruit and vegetables. He told Abel, I accept your offering. Why did he reject Cain and accept Abel? Well, the Bible says that Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. Cain just brought vegetables. Now, they both brought something, but they didn't bring what he required, and they didn't do it up front. Cain brought what was left. He brought something different than what was expected. Abel brought what was expected, and he brought it first, the best and the first. And God said, I accept that because you treat me like I am. You treat me like my name, my identity, my character, and my position demands. So my challenge to you and me today is to let's take God off of the second shelf. Let's make him first. First in our affections, first in our consideration, first in our consultation, because he demands and deserves to be first, not to have leftovers. And then the area that most people have struggles with and difficulty with. He says, I want to be first in your treasures. He says, that's an issue of honor. In the scripture we read in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, he says, honor the Lord with the first of your produce. So it's a matter of, do you honor me? Do you have regard for me? Now, this goes all the way back to creation. When God established the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Eden was the homestead for Adam and Eve. That was their house. In the middle of the house, in the den, God put a tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they had all these other trees in the garden. God said, from all these other trees you may freely eat, but that tree in the middle of the garden, don't mess with that, because that tree will kill you. But he put it in the middle of the garden. He put it in the den. Why are you going to put the tree that's going to mess me up in the den? Because that means when I go to the kitchen, I got to pass by that tree. When I go to the bedroom, I got to pass by that tree, because you got it right in the middle of my house, right in the middle of the den. Because that tree was to be a perpetual reminder that this is not yours. This is mine. I'm just letting you stay here. This tree is to remind you I am your source. This tree is to remind you that if it wasn't for me, none of this would be here. So I'm giving you a perpetual mind. You won't be able to go through your house without being reminded it's all about me. So we're going to put this tree right in the smack dab in the middle of your garden as a perpetual reminder that it's all about me. You get the benefits that it's about me, but I want you to not forget it. So I'm putting it in the midst of the garden. So throughout the scripture, God would do that. When it comes to treasures, that's why God established the tithe. The tithe was that which God gave his people all throughout biblical history as a tangible way to demonstrate you recognize he is your source and he is your supply. In Deuteronomy 14:23, it says, you give the tithe that you might learn to fear the Lord. To fear God means to take him seriously. So the reason he established the tenth, the word tithe means tenth, was a way to tangibly demonstrate, because he doesn't just believe it because you say it, to tangibly demonstrate that you believe God is your source. Now you can say, God is my source all day long, but God doesn't believe it because you say it. He believes it because he sees it. There is an act of faith demonstrated not just by the amount tithe, but by whether it's given first. That's why Deuteronomy 26, the whole chapter talks about first fruits this, first fruits that. Chapter 26 is verse 2, verse 10, verse 12. He goes on and on and on. He says, make me first, give the tithe, give the first fruits, and see what I do. See, a lot of Christians don't understand the connection of the spiritual to the economic. See, a lot of people don't understand that. In Leviticus, he talks about the fact that there is a direct connection between the two. In verses 14 to 20 of Leviticus 26, he says, you're complaining about your produce, you're complaining about your trees, you're complaining about stuff not working while you dishonor me with the tithe. He says, you dishonor me and wonder why the crops aren't working, why the rain isn't falling, why the things aren't growing. It's because you treat me like a dog.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final thought about why God sometimes chooses to say no when we ask him to open the windows of heaven. Stay with us.
Are your hands holding tightly to a self-made list, or are they open to let God in to help guide you? Kingdom stewardship is how you manage all that God has given you, your time, talents, and treasures. Dr. Tony Evans' latest release, in partnership with Focus on the Family, will inspire you to see God's greater plan for you. This special, exclusive bundle offer includes a copy of Dr. Evans' newest book, Kingdom Stewardship, a study guide and a DVD, so you can learn on your own or with a small group. It's totally up to you. Get your exclusive, limited-time bundle of Kingdom Stewardship resources today at tonyevans.org.
As I mentioned earlier, you'll also get the 12 full-length CDs in Tony's current series. Don't miss out on the special Kingdom Stewardship Resource Bundle. For a limited time, it's yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Time is running out, so don't wait. Visit us today at tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open day and night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans says, in times of trouble, we often seek God as our last resort. And tomorrow, he'll encourage us instead to make God first in all things. Right now, though, Tony's back with this thought.
Any of you like me, your kids still have a key to your house? If they ever rob me, I'm going to confiscate the key. Because you don't give keys to a thief, even if they're your child. You don't give keys to a thief. All these Christians will want God to unlock the windows of heaven while they steal from him. They rob him, but they'll say, open the windows of heaven and let the floodgates come while they rob God. He says, you rob me, you're cursed with a curse. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse that may be food in my house. And then I love this. He says, why don't you put me to the test? Try me. Don't even take my word for it, God says. Try me and see who you're dealing with. He says, see, well, if I not pour out a blessing.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.